But anyway, we welcome you all tonight to another episode of our Lenten series. Our themes have been looking at the variety of faces of the crowds pertaining to the last hours of our Lord's life. Tonight, our narrative takes us back to the cross with the emphasis on the last farewell. I welcome all those joining us this evening from their homes and wishing you all God's greatest blessings. Let us now begin our worship together, responding to God's presence among us and the gift of His name bestowed upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue now with our hymn for this evening. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I make the announcement of the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our passion narrative this evening is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, and for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic and Latin and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining, the garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his house, and later, knowing that everything had now been finished, so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The face of farewell. It's Friday morning now. The news is blazing all across Jerusalem's streets. The Nazarene has been executed, they say. From Solomon's porch to the temple gate, people were passing the word. "Have you heard? They got the Galilean." They say one of his own turned him in. The time is about to become epic. Graves are about to be opened. An earthquake is about to shake the city. The temple curtain is about to be torn in two. The people are found to be in shock, bewilderment, and confusion all around. A few people must have wept. Perhaps a few even gave a smile. Others walked out to the city gate up the hill to watch this spectacle. A few perhaps were irritated that the sanctity of the Passover festival was being violated. Others wondered if this was the same man who was celebrated with palm branches just a few days before. A lot can happen in just one day. Just ask Mary. Who could have convinced this mother yesterday that today would find her a few feet from the torn body of her son? And who could have convinced John on Thursday that he was 24 hours away from anointing the corpse of his hero? And Pilate, who could have convinced him that he was about to pass judgment on the Son of God? Mary is older now. Her hair is showing strands of gray, and wrinkles appear upon her face. Her hands are calloused from many years of housekeeping. She has raised a house full of children, and now she beholds the crucifixion of her firstborn. We observe and look at the tear-stained faces of Mary and John, faces swollen with sorrow, as they stood eye level with the bloody feet of Jesus. As Jesus looked down upon his mother, one wonders what memories Mary conjures up as she witnesses his torture. Perhaps the long ride to Bethlehem with the baby in her womb. Perhaps it was her baby's bed made of cow straw in a manger. Perhaps it was the moment they were running as fugitives into Egypt as a little family. And then, of course, eventually making their home together in Nazareth. And then, of course, there was the panic within the family when they missed him upon leaving Jerusalem following the holidays. Well, Jesus' thoughts may have recalled special times as well. The countless hours of contentment upon the dirt floor of a carpentry shop, playing as a toddler while his father worked. Or perhaps in Nazareth, he was only known as Jesus, son of Joseph. Or the time his father placed a hammer and chisel within his hands. I wonder if he rolled the nail between his thumb and fingers, if he was anticipating the pain that would come. And then that day did come when Jesus came to her home, and she noticed instantly that his eyes were firmer than ever before. His voice was more direct than she had ever heard. The urgency of his going out to see John to receive the baptism that he presents to all Israel. I suppose then that they both knew their lives would never be the same again. From this day on, she was to love her son always from a distance. Whether it's on the edge or on the edge of great crowds or standing outside of packed houses or sitting upon the sand, listening to him speak from the seashore. Mary wasn't the first to be called to say goodbye to loved ones for the sake of the kingdom. There was Abraham, who was sent to sacrifice his own son. Then, of course, there was Jacob, who had to flee his brother's wrath. Then there was Joseph, as he was called to be an orphan in Egypt. Jonah was directed to be a foreigner in Nineveh. Daniel was exiled to Babylon. And the Apostle Paul had to say goodbye to his heritage. The scripture is bound with goodbye journeys, and many of them are stained with farewell tears. Our Lord also reminds us that we too are pilgrims and foreigners upon this his earth, and that eternity is so close, that which he is preparing for us, that to say goodbye to anyone today in faith, in reality, is only, I'll see you tomorrow. And so our Savior had to do it also himself. He looked down upon the woman, his mom, and he spoke tenderly to her, "Woman, behold your son." Then he looked down upon John and whispered unto him, "Behold now your mother." It was then that John fastened his arms around Mary a little tighter. Here Jesus, her son, was also her Lord, and now was asking John to be the son of a mother's needs, and that in some ways he never could be such a son himself. Jesus must have looked at Mary now. His ache was from pain far greater than the nails and the thorns upon him. In their silent glance at each other, they again shared the bond that they had from the beginning when God had fulfilled his promise to become a man, becoming flesh. And it was all through her, Mary, his mother. And now it was time to let go. Now it was time to say goodbye. It was in this home environment that his human hands shaped the wood that his divine hands had created from the very beginning of time. It was here that his human body matured while his spirit waited for the right moment and the right day. He knew that the day would come when his feet would step out and away from home and would not rest until they would be pierced and placed on a Roman cross. If there was any hesitation on the part of his humanity, his divinity heard the cries of many voices. His divinity heard the hopeless cries of the poor. They heard the bitter accusations of the many who were abandoned. And he heard the desperate despair of those who were trying to save themselves. And his divinity saw the faces. Some were wrinkled, some were weeping, some obscured by fear, some blank with boredom. But from the face of Adam to the face of the last infant to be born, he saw them all. He left because of us. He heard our cries of shame and the guilt that was destroying us. Not only did he hear us, he also saw us, and his heart yearned for us. And it was enough to kill him. Of the cries from the cross that many would expect, the words of forgiving sinners, the words of promising a paradise, the words now of caring for his mother. But then he continued with a very brief word: I now thirst. Here we are reminded of his true humanity, that the Word had now become flesh. Here we are reminded of what comes with long days and sleepless nights. Here, without sleep or nourishment for over 24 hours, the trials, the scourging in Pilate's palace, in the midst of battle with victory now in sight, our Lord pauses for a brief moment of nourishment, for he wanted to be fully alert of what he was going to accomplish to the very end. When God chose to reveal himself, he did so through a human body. When the Father chose the name of his Son, it was a human name. This one called Jesus possessed a human tongue that called forth the dead from the grave. Also, he had a human hand that touched lepers and the unforsaken. He had human feet upon which a woman would weep. And he had real tears that came from a heart as broken as ours will ever be. Yes, God became man so that we could trust him. Jesus became the sacrifice so that we would know him. Our Lord defeated death so that we could follow him. His journey to the cross began long before his arrival in Bethlehem, as the echo of the crunching of the fruit was still sounding in Eden's garden, Jesus was already leaving for Calvary. Jesus stepped towards Jerusalem with the promise of God in his heart. And since he could bear our sins more easily than he could bear the thought of our rejection and our hopelessness without him, so he chose the wood and the cross and the crucifixion and the death to set us free. To God be all the glory, now and forevermore. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit abide with us always. Amen. We now continue with the speaking together of our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now continue the singing of our next hymn.
We have done, and now.
Let us pray. O Lord, at times we are concerned for our lives and our safety every day. Forgive our anxieties and give us courage to face whatever danger or ordeals that will confront us. As your blessed Son knelt in the garden and committed his life and mission for us into your hands upon the cross, so we place ourselves and all things into your care and to your keeping, as your Son asked for a thirst and you provided for him. Almighty Father, we know that your will is done in all things. Strengthen our faith and trust in your providential leading. We pray for all of our fellow men who are in any kind of danger this night, especially for those who do not know your gracious word and the precious promises that you have made. Cause your kingdom to come to all people everywhere and deliver us all from evil. For we are confident of your constant guidance, help, and presence, that you will protect and deliver us from all trouble as we bring this petition in the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, our Savior. These prayers and others we now bring before you, Heavenly Father, in the words that your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. We'll now sing our closing hymn, Jesus Messiah.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Messiah, Lord of all.
as Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, a rescue for sinners, a ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Well, we thank you all for worshiping with us this evening, and we just want you to be safe in these coming days and weeks. I think we might be on the back end of this thing from what we've been hearing from a number of folks. But for now, go in peace and serve the Lord always. Amen.